was September 1993. It was 103 degrees in a place that was called Hell Creek, South Dakota. Dinosaur hunter Michael Hammer made a discovery, and he was absolutely amazed at what he found. Sticking out of the ground was the remains of a Thessalosaurus, which is a very large vegetarian dinosaur. The skeleton was almost 100% complete. Hammer said that he knew from the very beginning that this was a very special find. Scientists reported that inside of the dinosaur's chest was what seemed to be a heart of stone. And it was the very first dinosaur heart that had ever been seen by mankind. You know, when I heard that story, I thought, you know, usually we do not look favorably upon a heart of stone. You know, there was a line in one of the songs that Cher sang, and it said, "Don't you wish sometimes you had a heart made of stone?" Well, you know, having a heart made of stone is not something that we actually cherish and what we actually long for in life. In the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, in the text that Steve read for us this morning, is calling for the people of Israel to come back to the living God, and in this message he spoke of their hearts having been turned to stone. And the Bible teaches us plainly that it does really matter what condition our heart is in. And we talk about that all the time from the pulpit, from the classroom, that we have to have a heart that is molded and shaped as a Christian. In other words, it really does matter what is within us and what is inside of us. God is concerned about what we think, and he is concerned about how we think. And the fact is that before our lives can change, our heart must be penetrated. We must come to an understanding that as our heart is, so is the rest of us. But you know, most people, they acknowledge the reality of God, and they actually acknowledge the reality of His Son, Jesus Christ. But sometimes that information, that knowledge, doesn't always move from the head to the heart. We have so many people that talk about their knowledge of God, yet they would never attempt to live for Him. They would never attempt to abide by His Word, but they understand that He exists. Jesus needs to penetrate our hearts so that we can live according to His will. It's sort of like the little girl who picked up a potato one day, and she showed it to her mother, and she said, "Look, mother, this potato is so big, and it is so nice, isn't it?" And it was a very good-looking potato. But when the mother peeled it and cut it in half, how surprised the little girl was when she saw that it was all black inside, and it was hollow inside. It was a rotten potato that looked good from the outside. I hate to say this, but there are a lot of people in the church today who are just like this potato. Outwardly, they look great. They look like they're growing. They look like they're moving forward as a child of God. And they look healthy because all the signs on the outside are there. They're right. These people are putting on a face. They're trying to make you think one thing when in reality it is something else about them. They're just like the potato. They have all the signs of being good, but inwardly they are rotten and they are hollow. And these people need Christ to take over their lives, to fill them with the goodness and the Christianity from within. You know, Jesus is the cure for a rotten inside. One of the main functions of the prophets of God was to call the people back to God. And they would call the people to repentance. They would call the people to turn back from their idols and from their false gods and from their false ways to the one and true living God. Ezekiel was one of those prophets, and this is one of the passages that we used that shows Ezekiel trying to turn the people back to the way that they need to be. The question this morning is, how can we identify a hardened heart, a heart that is made of stone? Well, it's very important that we learn how to identify a problem that may exist in someone's life, that we could say they have a heart of stone. The psalmist David says in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, what David is actually doing here, he is asking God to reveal to him his faults and his innermost inadequacies as a servant of his, and to help him correct whatever problem that there is that separates him between him and his God. And this is one of the things that Jesus preached while he was here. He was trying to get people to put the world away, the things that can separate people from God. And he was really hard upon the Pharisees because they had developed within themselves hardened hearts of stone. They looked like they were all okay, but on the inside they wasn't. And it just blows me away to know how people that were possessed with so much knowledge of God and understood the ways of the Lord, and they did so much in the name of the Lord, could have hearts of stone. But the Pharisees had hearts of stone. They could find joy in disgracing the woman who was caught in adultery. And they could take pride in the fulfillment of the law that demanded her stoning. But then they could look at the situations of Jesus doing good and try to find fault with that. Their hearts were made of stone. And it was easy to see. But sometimes a hardened heart is not always easy to identify. Because just because a person is doing certain things that we think are good does not mean that their heart is not made of stone. Just because you come to church does not mean that your heart is not made of stone. Just because you read your Bible and just because you bow your head in a prayer does not mean that your heart is not stone. Having a hard heart does not indicate to people around you that you are evil. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you are immoral. Maybe you're like the Pharisees. Maybe you do all the right things. Maybe you make the people think you're following the law to the letter, but your heart is still cold because there's no compassion there. There's no love for God there. God calls us to do more than just go through the motion of being a Christian. One of the symptoms of a stone heart is loss of compassion. Loss of compassion for the sick, for those who are hurting. Loss of compassion for the sinner. One of the earmarks of our faith is to have compassion for other people. How do you feel when you see a person who can't afford to buy food? Do you think to yourself, why don't they go out and get a job? How dare you ask me for money? How dare you ask me for food? You need to go hungry. Maybe then you'll get up and do something with your life. The truth is, we have not been called upon to look at people that way. We have been called upon to look at people in the same way that Jesus looked at people. Jesus never had a cold, hard, stone heart. His heart was filled with love. His heart was filled with compassion. His heart was filled with goodness. Let's bring it a little closer home. How do you feel when you learn that a brother or a sister in Christ is living in sin? Do you respond by saying, well, yeah, God will get them? Do you say, well, I know that they're living wrong. They'll get what's coming to them. And let's say this sinner repents. What is your response when this sinner repents? You may say, oh, yeah, well, they say that now, but they'll go right back to what they were doing before. They're not going to stick to it. And we find ways to put away the compassion, to put away the love, to bring out that cold, hard heart. And then I've heard this one. Well, that person's not going to live right because I knew his daddy. Be surprised how that one gets around. Those with a stone heart are not moved or affected by people in need. And friends, our Christian heart needs to be moved and affected by people who are in need. It may be today that I'm talking to some who have lost your sense of love and your sense of passion for the sinner, for the sick, for the hurting. Another symptom of a stone heart is you've lost your desire to grow as a Christian. You've lost your desire to do God's will. You know, as Christians, we are in the process of being transformed to the image of God. But you know, unfortunately, over time, many people lose that desire to live in the image of God. They lose that desire to grow in our faith and to do God's will. And it is when we stop growing and when we stop caring that our heart can actually become calloused. And to become calloused is to become hard-hearted. Oftentimes we choose our own choices and create our own opportunities that go against God. And that brings a halt to our Christian maturity. And whether we realize it or not, we are hardening our hearts. You know, the dictionary defines this lack of interest or this lack of concern as apathy. People with a stone heart are apathetic. They do not care about spiritual growth. They are perfectly content with where they are in their life. People with stone hearts think that it's okay because of the things that they're okay because of things that they have already done. They only think of how they can use their spirituality to get their way or use their Christianity to get their way. And they try to ride on their prior deeds. And they fail to think about the condition that their heart is in right now. Perhaps, again, you've lost your desire to grow. It may be that you have become apathetic in learning God's Word, growing in God's Word, growing as a Christian. If so, you have a heart that has turned to stone. Perhaps you have developed the attitude of, who cares? I don't need to grow. I don't need to learn. I don't need to conform to God's Word. And again, if this has happened to you, you have developed a heart of stone. Another symptom of a stone heart is having lost your excitement for God and God's Word. As Christians, my friends, we should be excited about our Christianity. We can all think back to the day that we became a Christian, to the day that we were baptized into Christ. We came up out of that water, and didn't you feel so good about yourself? God had washed away your sins. You are a brand new child of God. You are in Christ. You are free. Didn't that excite you? You can go out into the world and you can live a Christian life. You can go forward. You can show that light for all to see. Did that not make you happy? What happened? Are you still not at that point today? You are in the position now that you can teach the Word of God. You can show how it is to be in the kingdom. You can help save lives. You can help change lives. It may be that your heart has changed and you no longer have that desire. You no longer get excited about your Christianity. You no longer have that passion for God's Word. You no longer see the need for a missionary program, an outreach program, or a program that is designed to bring us together. And my friends, if that has happened, you have developed a hardened heart. How did this happen? How could this have possibly happened to us? Answer is simple. Continued practice of sin. Despite what many people tell you, it really does matter what you do. It really does matter how you act. And sin is very unique in the way that when you sin, it usually leads to more sin. Very rarely when you sin, you'll turn around instantly and go back the other way. It usually starts out as something small. But just like the wound on the hand, it will fester and it will grow. And it will build and become worse. There is an old saying that says, sow a thought, reap a deed. Sow a deed, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a judgment. This really goes along with what James says in James chapter 1, verse 14, 15. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It is a hard reality for us to know that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But know this, there is a difference in committing a sin and continuing in the practice of sin. We all know that sin is a part of life. It's going to happen to all of us. And we're not justified in the sins that we commit. And sin is still wrong. And we need to strive to stay away from it. But understand this, it is the continued practice of a sin or a sinful lifestyle that creates the heart of stone. Because as we continue in sin, as we develop sin within our lives, our heart gets harder and harder and harder. And it is so hard to break through. Perhaps today, you're here because you think you need to be, and you would be here regardless of what else is going on in your life. So yes, you continue coming to church. When you walk outside of these doors, you will go right back into your lifestyle of sin. So there is definitely a difference. Perhaps this is going on in your life. Perhaps it's a sin that you can keep hidden from everyone around you. Perhaps you have been putting on a front that everybody thinks you're okay, just like that potato. Looks really good. But when you open it up and look inside. One other quick point on this removal from God's presence will cause you to have a hard heart. You know, I love to watch a fire burn. You know, when I'm watching a fire, you know, it always comes to a fork as it disappears at the top. And I always look for that fork to look alike, to have a duplicate of the flame as it's going up. And they're never the same. They're always different. I know when I was a child, we would go camping a lot, and my daddy would build a big fire, a lot of logs around the fire. And sometimes if he wanted the fire to go down a little bit, he would take a log off and set it aside. And I would watch that one log as it sits there by itself. The others keep burning and keep growing, and that one log just starts to die all by himself. Flame goes out. You know, that's what happens to the Christian when he separates himself from the flock. One of the reasons that God chose us to come together to worship is not only to honor Him through our worship, it is so that we can keep that flame going together, making the fire grow and build and become stronger. Because when we separate ourselves from the family of God, we become less godly. Other things will cause our flame to go out. We need to be so careful about that. And a lot of people will let that happen in their spiritual lives. They will separate from God, and they will separate themselves from God's people. And before you know it, their flame is going out, and that softened sweetheart turns hard. Just that can cause you to develop a hard, calloused heart. You know, Solomon actually addressed this in Proverbs 27 and verse 17. He says, as the iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you want to put a sharpened end to your axe blade, you do it with another piece of metal, because nothing else will sharpen that blade but another piece of metal. If you want to sharpen yourself as a child of God, the only thing that can do that is another Christian. We need each other, folks. For without each other, we can develop that heart of stone. Fellowship of God's people is so important. Being together is so important, because it helps us keep our heart soft. How do we do that? How can we have that soft heart? Well, maybe today your heart is hardened. To repair it, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you all over again. You know, the Holy Spirit is that worked upon the Jews on the day of Pentecost. They were cut in their heart when Peter preached to them. The Word of God pierced that hard shell around their heart and caused them to understand what they had done to their Savior. And they cried to have an answer. They cried for a way out. And the Word of God gave it to them. It pierced through that hard heart. People respond all sorts of ways when they feel convicted. Some people just push it off and act as if nothing happened. Other people take note of that conviction, and they will respond correctly. The Word of God will chisel away at a hardened heart. I think Paul called it the sword of the Spirit. It will pierce through, chisel through that hardened heart. The Word of God tells us exactly what God expects of us. The Word of God is the standard that which we use to know the difference between right and wrong. Repentance of sin will chisel away at the hardened heart. It is the best way to soften a hard heart.
to come to a conclusion within yourself that there is a change that needs to be made. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's word. That's what repentance can do. It can soften that hardened heart.
Today, perhaps your heart has become hard. Perhaps today it has become as a stone. I want to encourage you today through your life that repentance of sin, obedience to God's word, will soften that hardened heart. This morning, if you are not a Christian, God can soften your heart. The blood of Jesus will wash away your sins and soften that heart and put you in the right relationship with God. With faith, repentance, confession of Jesus as the Son of God, the baptism into Jesus Christ, that will soften your heart. And Christian, if your heart has become hardened once again, God can still soften it. If you will change your life and bring it back to God's way. We want to give you an opportunity to remove your heart of stone and let God soften it once again. If you need to respond this morning, please come as we stand and sing.